at Vancouver on a rather gray, dreary Sunday. But not after you see tonight's show. You're watching Much West. My name is Chris. I'm your host. Previously on Much West, we brought you a special conversation between Joey Shithead Keithley of DOA and his old friend Henry Rollins. That conversation, which we broadcast, went so well that we asked Joey if there was anyone else that he would like to talk to in the same way. He could think of only one other person. That was his friend Jello Biafra, ex of the dead Kennedys. Well, as it so happens, Jello was in town, and we had the chance to put the two of them together and eavesdrop on their conversation. That's here tonight, Jello versus Joey on Much West.
What are you going to be covering? About a million and one things?
The usual. I mean, there's obviously some amusing election tales and stuff, including maybe my own brief brush with not really the White House, let's not say that. The New York State Green Party at their convention nominated me to be one of the primary election opponents of Ralph Nader. I didn't really want to oppose Ralph Nader.
Yeah, yeah.
I voted for him in 96, but I figured put my name out there might draw some people who had not heard of Nader or the Greens or what we're down with, but are down with what I do, might get them involved. And apparently that did happen. They said a lot of younger people started hitting their websites up and things like that. I wanted to be on the side of danger. I mean, my personal life has been absolute hell because of the former band, members of my old band Dead Kennedys, suing the shit out of me, trying to destroy alternative tentacles, steal the albums, pimp them to any bozo who wants to put them in a TV commercial, or anybody as dumb as Bob Muck in Toronto who wants to, you know, scam off the label, whether it's stealing my songs against my wishes or not.
If I could build a wall around you, I could control on a will within you. It never shows that place where evil goes.
The fiscal year started almost exactly a year ago with the pouring into the streets in Seattle against the World Trade Organization.
Right.
A lot of people were upset for a long time, but didn't realize till everybody showed up in Seattle how many allies they had from different walks of life. Michael Moore, the filmmaker who made Roger and Me and does The Awful Truth now, has been stressing for years that progressives and self-styled radicals should get off their high horse and mix with working people more. And he puts it in a nutshell. You got to get out of the salons and go line dancing. Whether line dancing is the most effective thing I can be doing, I'm still skeptical. You know, hi, I'm Boots Scootin' for Nader. Want to talk to me in the men's room for a minute here? I don't know whether that's going to work.
He's got a country background, maybe.
But he's got a really good point that people have to reach out because there is this wedge of people there, the wedge issue being, why can't I put food on the table? .com yuppies are scamming themselves silly, but 80% of the American people haven't seen anything. And so that's a wedge. That's 80% of the people. Neither side of the Republicrats gives a damn about them, and they admit they don't give a damn about them. Even if you're not into the Greens or whatever, get down with a green wedge, because that's the wedge of people power that in our lifetime has the best chance of beating back and hopefully overthrowing corporate power.
Mm-hmm.
Corporate power has already been acknowledged as the new Vietnam. You know, late 60s, early 70s, there was the Vietnam War, the birth of the civil rights movement, environmental movement, feminism, etc. This time, the issue bringing everybody out of the closet is corporate power has gone too damn far. This is part part of what was cool about fiscal year and one in Seattle was I was actually in a band again for four whole days with Chris Novoselic, the old bassist from Nirvana, Kim Thiel, the old guitarist from Soundgarden, drummer named Gina Mainwall that they'd been working with. And so it was quite an exhausting time. You march and agitate by day, talk to groups big and small, in my case, pal of the mouth, if you will, then rehearse by night trying to come up with something presentable. There's a couple of us there.
Let's see. Yeah. Show the camera. I don't need
to.
Cool.
And that's Chris with the gas mask. And then we got, of course, Seattle stuff inside. There's a burning dumpster with a Gabba Gabba Hay sign among the protesters. There were several of those. I mean, people knew they were supposed to be there, even if they weren't sure why, so they just said Gabba Gabba Hay.
When the Canadian Alliance came out with tax cuts, liberals who called the election initiated this whole mess in the first place. They went, our tax cuts are even greater, said the finance minister and the prime minister. So it was one-upmanship. So through their polling, you know, because, you know, all politicians, they don't think for themselves. They just go, what do the polls say?
No, they go, what do our corporate backers say?
Well, okay, what then, put it this way, what do our corporate backers want and what do the polls say? How will we get that across? So the liberals have managed to sort of out-conservative the old progressive conservatives and in some ways the Canadian Alliance.
The Canadian Alliance is trying to use a lot of lefty language and stuff too, which the Republicans would never dream of in America. I mean, you want me to pull the booklet out? I've got it with me. Here we are. Would you buy used hockey equipment from that man? I wouldn't. This is Stockwell Day. And here we have Kretchen looking like he just got out of a hockey fight or something. He's got weirder eyes than Al Gore. Here we've got more liberal NDP tax cuts for big banks, which is the best way to fight the cutting taxes is automatically best because, of course, especially in the States, a tax cut means a tax cut for wealthy property owners only. The Marijuana Party, single-issue politics, further splitting the so-called left, progressives, etc.
The Canadian Marijuana Party, you know, it's actually headed by, you know, Grimskunk?
Quebec.
The old bass player is the leader of the Canadian Marijuana Party.
Damn.
So it's interesting.
They don't
so
call I've got it skunk weed for nothing, huh?
These guys are into pot, right? So it's only natural that Boris Saint-Maurice from Montreal.
What say about our times in the old days, prog rock bands had those Fantasy Poo Roger Dean covers, names like Yes, Genesis, Marillion later on, you know, floaty, floaty, fantasy, fantasy, and then modern prog, Grim Skunk.
What was the punk band though?
They sound like a prog band to me.
Oh, okay.
I will say this, though. There is absolutely no talk in the United States of annexing Canada. And they make it a big deal here as though it's like, it's the same thing as Pat Buchanan saying the white race is endangered, even though it has all the money, the guns, and the people. Huh. And, you know, Canada is in no danger of becoming the 51st state. America does not want to pay for the upkeep. Laughing so hard at the American elections. What's hilarious is here you have two candidates from old money families who've been monkeying with politics since the U.S. Civil War in the 19th century.
Right.
You know, nothing but total open contempt for regular people their entire lives, even now, just arguing, it's mine, no, it's mine, no, it's mine, no, it's mine. And what's also funny is one of the most corrupt, ridiculous, seediest states in the United States, Florida. You know, every election is this rigged in Florida, but this time they got caught. I mean, of course, if the majority of the voters or eligible voters' wishes were respected, no one would be president at all. because most people didn't vote. They were so disgusted, and it was the most of the two-party system. It was the most pathetic choice in my entire lifetime.
This George was the Brooke, two worst candidates
yeah,
I can remember.
The two worst possible people, and Gore cements it by picking the. I thought, who would be the absolute worst vice president he could possibly pick? Dianne Feinstein? No, there's a worse one. Lieberman. And who does he pick?
Well, yeah, I was not familiar with this Lieberman guy.
Lieberman is so conservative, he's to the right of many Republicans. He is a religious fundamentalist. It may be from Judaism, but he's just as intolerant as Jerry Falwell, right. Pat Robertson, the rest, went on record after his vice president saying the Constitution does not guarantee freedom from religion, which is not what the Constitution actually
right.
says.
It doesn't say that at all.
And
yeah.
he is, and when it comes to music and culture, he's like Tipper Gore on crack. Lieberman and William Bennett, King George Bush I's old drug policy czar, the father
right.
of
yeah,
the prison industrial
yeah.
complex, is Lieberman's ally against music. They storm into major label boardrooms together to try and wash labels out. So demanding Marilyn Manson be blackballed and Tupac be taken out of print, etc., Tupac
right.
Shakur. But among the other people on the annual Lieberman-Bennett blacklist, and of course it's literally a blacklist, most people on it are black, heavy metal slacking off. Only Cannibal Corpse made the last one.
Right.
But guess who else was too risque for Lieberman?
Who?
The Black Crowes and Blues Traveler. That
oh,
is how
okay.
in top this guy is. And, of course, he never met a military project he didn't like. He's anti-choice when it comes to abortion rights and women's rights.
Basically, what you're saying is that these guys are almost more right than George Bush and his cronies.
Oh, I mean, Bush has tried to outflank them a la Stockwell Day. Outflank him on the other side, saying that music and video games should be a choice of the parents, not federal law.
A smart move on his part.
Well, maybe not. I mean, it probably was the first time he even realized music existed.
He was probably listening to some good music or some sort of rock music when him and Bill Spaceman Lee, the ex-Montreal Expos pitcher, George Bush Jr. and Spaceman Lee were smoking pot together.
I had never heard that story.
Bill Spaceman Lee came out, ex-Montreal Expos, a couple other teams he played for. He says, I would vote for George W. Bush Jr., because he's a good guy to party with. I smoked a couple of fatties with him back in '73.
I find that very interesting that was completely blacked out of the American media altogether. And they didn't really discuss Al and Tipper Gore admitting they smoked pot when they were younger and whatnot. So maybe it wasn't the issue du jour this time. He claims he's straight edge now, of course, but... Who knows? I mean, when he did his acceptance speech at the Republican convention, he came across as a spoiled little frat boy desperately trying to audition for the college debate team.
We're going to bring back America's pride, and we're gonna restore dignity to the Oval Office. Don't mess with Texas.
This is our president?
The horribleness with your ex-bandmates, and hopefully that will be straightened out to somebody's satisfaction. Hopefully it's,
I doubt it. Their lawyer represents Boston, Journey, Doobie Brothers, Santana. It's all a scam. I mean, they even made a motion to the judge to have me kicked out of the ex-band member partnership so they'd never have to pay me again.
Yeah, I heard
maybe
about that
was
yeah.
their real goal all along.
Well, it's really unfortunate. I mean, because it was the band created a lot of great songs and stirred up a lot of trouble as well.
Well, they claim they wrote them all now, too.
It's just really unfortunate. I think that's what everybody outside of it kind of feels. It's just like, wow, what a drag, because this is a kind of, what you guys said, this stuff that people looked up to.
At the same time, I can't spend the next 15 years after a band breaks up babysitting idiots.
Fair enough.
At some point, they got to stand on their own 2 feet.
So is that what it came down to? I mean, I don't want to get into a prolonged discussion.
They basically want free money the rest of their lives. Ray's telling quote was, we could have gone on and on for years like REM and U2.
Beautiful day.
The very bands we made fun of the whole time we existed as a band, as well as the machinery that got them where they are.
Everybody,
And now they're bitter because Ray told me in 93 I'd ruined his life because we never signed with a major label.
Right.
I mean, they were welcome to go sign with a major label and get another singer, but I guess that never occurred to him.
You've done a ton of really great records with other people. Obviously, I really like the one with DOA and the ones with No Means No, like around for
yes.
the Terminal City Ricochet.
Well, so do I. So, let's sell snake oil here. We yeah. like our record we made together, and we think you should, too, and we didn't bring a copy of it.
Last Scream of the Missing Neighbors is a great record. This is a new one?
This is an EP that came out earlier this year. The title is self-explanatory, okay. 70s Rock Must Die,
all the sticky which fingers
I suffered for my art on this one because Al insisted that I sing it, not Bon Scott style. Who's the current AC/DC singer?
But
Brian Johnson.
Yeah.
He wanted Brian Johnson. I don't normally sing that high. I can do it in a pinch, but to belt it, well, let's just say I couldn't talk for a few days after that.
Do you have any thought of ever doing a tour, like a full-fledged tour with this? Because you get, I mean, there's not like four CDs out, so it's a real volume of material.
I have mixed feelings about that. Of course, their main band is Ministry,
Al Jorgensen,
and Paul Barker, and then they have Revolting Cox, too. And Al and Paul made noises about it, much to my surprise, last spring or summer.
Yeah, I had heard about that.
I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, it could be really cool in some ways, really volatile personality-wise in other ways. And I don't know what we're going to do about ticket prices because I try to keep mine really, really low.
Right.
And they are of a different philosophy about that. So whether we meet in the middle, I don't know.
You are a rock star. You are a rock legend to the max. You can really knock it out. You can really whoop a horse's ass.
Alanis Morissette. Alanis Morissette. Alanis Morissette. Alanis Morissette.
We keep up with Wesley Willis here, Greatest Hits Volume 2. In some ways, the most punk artist we've ever done in terms of his honesty and, you know, he says exactly what he thinks.
Yeah.
You know, you are my friend. I like you a lot. You are so pretty. I love you like tender vittles, etc.
You are a Rocky maniac. You are a stinking hyena. You are a rock star in Jesus' name. You can really rock Saddam Hussein's ass.
And here we have They Threw Me Out of Church, The Vultures Ate My Dead Ass Up, Arnold Schwarzenegger, I Broke Out Your Windshield, Birdman Kicked My Ass, many more. This is a more recent Wesley one we got called Rush Hour, a very early album he recorded that never came out.
So how many Wesley Willis albums have you got on AT now?
Three. This is the third one.
Cool.
He's done about 40 in the last five years.
I know
years.
The guy's like, there's no stopping him.
I'm fascinated by Art of the Differently Sane, of course, and collect the records of those kind of people vociferously. And when I heard this, I realized this, like, breaks the mold as far as the, you know, they talk about incredibly strange music. This is way beyond incredibly strange music. And it wasn't just one song or two novelty songs. There were more and more and more of them. And he turned out to be a fascinating and very warm, very loving human being.
I've never met him, but yeah.
I mean, even the way he relates to people, for whatever reasons of being touched as a child, he doesn't hug or kiss or shake hands. If he wants to be friends or check you out, he headbutts you. You know, just a huge hand comes around your neck, and then it was like, say rah, rah, say rah, rah, until he headbutts you after every one. You know, he's taking it in with his eyes and your eyes the whole time.
You see what your reaction is, yeah.
And with me, he usually stays in my house in San Francisco, the old band hotel you know so well.
Yeah.
And by the last two times he's been there, by the end of the time there, I had a callus on my head from being headbutted, just like he did. He headbutts me to an extreme.
All right, that's it for the program. I want to thank you for watching. I want to thank Jello and Joey for letting us invade their space and listen to what they have to say. We're going to leave you now with a video that probably sums up Jello and Joey's feelings perfectly. This is Joey Keith Lee's newest video, The Yuppie Has to Die, right here on Much West. I'll see you next week.